It is the university on the hill overlooking a city in transition. Once the town and gown divide was palpable. But today, suffering from industrial decline and trying to make a comeback, the city of Syracuse is depending on Syracuse University to help remake the city. Key to that effort is Marilyn Higgins, Vice President of Community Engagement and Economic Impact at Syracuse University, and she is our guest today on Smart City. Marilyn, to set the context, describe the historic relationship Syracuse University has had with the city of Syracuse.
Well, the relationship with the university and the public was primarily around sports. Thousands upon thousands of residents would troop up to the dome and watch the basketball games, but very little connection with the academic and the social side of the university. The faculty and students very seldom came into the city and vice versa.
And how has that now changed?
It's changed through a really deliberate strategy on the part of Chancellor Nancy Cantor. She believes that this city, which has a wonderful history of innovation, both in the women's rights movement and the construction of the Erie Canal and the civil rights movement, is an absolutely wonderful place for the students of our university to engage in scholarship that can literally change the world. And so she has forged a connection with the community that is much deeper than community service or students working in soup kitchens. It's a very deep connection based on their learning experiences. For example, students are designing parts of the connective corridor, a new urban redevelopment route that will physically connect the university and downtown Syracuse. Our students from visual and performing arts are now located in a renovated warehouse in the heart of the city and are engaged in everything from helping to clean the water to designing new neighborhood planning strategies for the 9th poorest census tract in the United States. In addition, the university has launched, in cooperation with the mayor, the Say Yes to Education program, recognizing that unless we make some dramatic changes in our urban schools and improve the graduation rates, et cetera, all the other work to make the city good is not going to result in people moving there. So we have a vast program with the entire city school district. It's the first time it's ever been done this way, where every single graduate of the Syracuse City Schools is guaranteed a college education at one of a number of private schools and the SUNY schools. So it's really providing incentive for young families to stay in the city and work on improving the schools. There's, from the Say Yes to Education program, an extensive support system that's being built around the urban schools to provide after-school enrichment and tutoring, et cetera.
You have been working on a couple of really interesting initiatives that attempt to physically connect the city to the university and to physically transform a particular neighborhood on the edge of downtown. You've actually hinted at both of them. You mentioned the connective corridor,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned the work in the one of the poorest neighborhoods. Describe what it is that you're doing there.
Well, with the connective corridor, what we're doing is we're working with the city to actually create a new urban landscape down a corridor of land that leads from the university right into the heart of the city. We're using federal highway funds, creating complete streets, bicycle friendly. We're arranging to have performance on the corridor. We have a new branding strategy that we're putting forward for the corridor. So there's the physical component, which will be new lighting and benches and streetscapes, but then there's the programmatic component, which includes our students, whether it's doing street drama or music or festivals or public art. So it is really a very dense new strip of urban redevelopment that physically and in a programmatic way connects the university and the community. The Near West Side Initiative is a project designed to use the power of art, technology, and innovation in keeping with neighborhood values and culture to revitalize a neighborhood, as you said, on the fringe of downtown that is the 9th poorest census tract in the United States. That neighborhood has received no investment of any kind for over 70 years. It was once the working-class manufacturing neighborhood of the city. What the university has done is created a nonprofit entity with an extraordinarily diverse group of people. Because the university does not see this as a university-only project, this is a community project. And we have acquired 74 residential properties in a pretty compacted area. And our housing partner home headquarters is renovating homes. We're building some of the most innovative new green homes in the nation on some empty lots there. And we have acquired and are renovating a number of warehouses. And these dilapidated warehouses were the barrier between this neighborhood and the healthiest part of the city. So we're making them a porous and interesting connection between the Near West Side neighborhood and the Armory Square neighborhood in the city.
I want to pursue a couple of lines of thought on the Near West Side neighborhood development, because trying to bring this into being is yeoman's work. One of the things you've done, which I think is so interesting, Marilyn, is that you really are working in partnership with the residents who were there, the ones who were left. And that's full of landmines. How
mm-hmm.
have you made that work in a way that seems to be productive and actually carrying the project forward?
What we did is right from the beginning, we asked the advice of a pastor in that neighborhood and a priest in that neighborhood who were very, very vested. And we asked them who we could work with really productively, and they gave us really valuable insight and names of people. So right from the beginning, we had residents of the neighborhood on the board of directors with the president of the Chamber of Commerce and some pretty esteemed local attorneys. So we started creating real conversation from the very, very beginning. We started something called the Resident Engagement Program, and our partner, the Gifford Foundation, really took the lead on that. We consider resident engagement and leadership in this effort as important as the housing renovations, the warehouse renovations, or the green initiatives. Resident engagement is part and parcel of what we are trying to achieve. And in fact, we have set goals that, you know, within 3 years, we're going to have a 50% resident makeup of the board, because ultimately this is going to be owned by the resident leaders of the Near West Side. We've been very open about everything. We've been very transparent. We've worked very hard to prevent a we-they situation from happening. Even if we had a wonderful prospect to put into one of our warehouses, if it was an entity that the neighbors were not comfortable with, we wouldn't work on it. We're bringing in entities into these warehouses that have true connection with the neighborhood, and they are agreeing to invite the neighborhood in. For example, we're working on relocating our public broadcasting station to the warehouse in this neighborhood, and that public broadcasting station has agreed to establish an education center which will be open to the neighborhood children. So that's the kind of tenant that we've been looking for, and we've also set up a resident association which started with about 4 people and now has about 100 meeting every month. And that resident association is really serving as the bridge between the new people who are moving in, some, you know, young artists and recording studio folks, and the existing neighborhood. So they are starting a Toastmasters club. They are literally bringing welcome baskets and introducing the new residents to the existing residents, bringing them to different events that happen in the community. We're trying to do it concurrently, as opposed to a situation with conflict, which requires community benefit agreements and negotiation. We're trying to do these things in a collaborative way.
What have you learned from this work that others can learn and make their own efforts more effective?
What I've learned on the Near West Side in particular is that you have to give up ownership and control in order to get a really good product. We have a very unusual structure with the Near West Side Initiative. We didn't do the traditional thing of setting up a nonprofit, hiring a director, hiring staff, and putting programs under it. Instead said, we're going to work with four major institutions, the Center of Excellence in Energy and Environmental Systems, the Gifford Foundation, and Home Headquarters. And each one of these partners is going to be the expert in their area, and we're not going to control everything that they do, say, or spend money on. We're going to trust each other. And it's very unwieldy. It is not a linear structure. It's very uncomfortable. It requires extraordinary amounts of trust and conversation. But I believe that by doing that, we have accomplished more in 2 years than many of these efforts accomplish in 10.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to see what you've done. I know you're hosting one of the dinners at the upcoming CEOs for Cities meeting in New York. It was the first one to fill up, Marilyn. So as I told you, you are our prom queen. And we appreciate what you're doing there and what we can all learn from it. So thanks so much for being our guest on Smart City.
My pleasure, Carol. Thank you.